remember, it's tough because you have to remember, like you were saying before, you have to remember to eat and remember to drink water. I did a race last month in New York State, and it was a 50 miler, and I was just looking to do it, but I was with some friends and it was fun and we were rolling through and I wasn't really drinking water, and that caught up with me. I started cramping up real bad. So there's mental challenges to remembering to eat, remember to stay positive, and that we're all just out there having fun. It doesn't matter if you're fast, slow, shape, size, age. It's just great to be out there.
Right.
You have to stay in that positive, you know, mental, you have to have this real big positive mental attitude, because it's easy to, when things get hard, to really come down on yourself.
Yeah. And I can see you having that good positive vibe. It'd be like, you know, I'm like 5 minutes behind, but God, this is a great view. And you're just damn, this is a good view.
The bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
And I tell people all the time, never underestimate the Catskill. You can't underestimate them.
Why the Catskills is such a great place for trout.
It is really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
Oh man, I have actually been waiting for this, Ed, because you are a cool dude, man.
Whoop whoop. All
see?
Right.
That is why. That is why. Positivity thanks, from man. This guy is sky high. This is why I have him here.
Hey, that's the way we roll these days.
Hell yeah. So, recent news. Ed, I don't know. Did you hear about the Trail Bandits on Slide Mountain? Trail Bandits.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy, but yeah. I mean, like it's kind of cool in a way. It's kind of cool in a way. Like, yeah, I like to have like chairs on top of a mountain, but it's kind of crazy. I mean, kudos to them for like hiking all that up. Like, that's really cool. Like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. So the unfortunate thing is it's Slide Wilderness. It's forever wild. So you can't do anything to it. So I've also noticed, like, I'm pretty sure I've spotted this at a couple places. So there was a place on the Escarpment Trail where I saw one of these brand new chairs. I'll probably share a picture later on about it. And I was just like, what the hell is this? You know, you walk upon the ledge and there's a brand new Adirondack chair there, and I was like, what the hell is this? So apparently these guys tried to bring this stuff up during a day on Sunday, which is when the Catskill 3500 Club Trailhead Stewards were there. So, you know, unfortunately we got to report this stuff because, you know, it is illegal to do this in a wilderness and especially a park. So they did that, and apparently the rangers came and said something to them, and you're like, they got to bring it. You got to bring it down. And, you know, you can't do this. This is kind of like littering. And the hiker said, no, we're not going to do that. So unfortunately, I guarantee, you know, Ranger Martin is awesome. He's the best. I've met him. I've worked with him several times. The guy is cool as heck. He's got a huge mustache, which is awesome. it's so cool. And they said it's illegal to do that. And unfortunately, the people said no, so they're not going to retrieve the chairs. So they made Ranger Martin and Summit Steward Moran to retrieve the chairs themselves. So crazy incident on July 8th, which was just, you know, today is the 11th, so 3 days ago. So
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, see, that's not cool, like, to just leave it there and, like, not bring it down. Like, maybe if they were, like, tired and worked, I get it, but...
Yeah,
that's not cool.
Another crazy incident in the Catskills, like the 60 people at Giant Ledge last week wasn't crazy enough. That's a lot of people. That's
60 people on Giant Ledge is a lot.
Yeah, of one group. It's one group.
Yeah.
So
I hope they had fun though. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
I mean, even when would people without views still enjoy Giant Ledge, you know, when they don't have the views.
Of course.
I always enjoyed it. So an unfortunate lose on a negative note, Ian O'Brien from Roxbury, I believe. Let me pull this up. Ian O'Brien from Roxbury, who's been missing Colorado for around like 9-10 days now. They have concluded the search. They have called it off. They haven't found his body. Unfortunately, that's bad news. Hoping he would be rescued, hoping he'd be found for the people. But 9 days is a long time. 7 days is a long time. 5 days out in the wilderness is a very long time. So unfortunate news.
Sad.
Yeah, my thoughts go out to the family of Ian O'Brien, and hopefully someday somebody will find him, maybe get a closure of where he was. And unfortunate, but sorry to hear that. Also, Ed, where are you located, Ed?
I'm in North Jersey, but you know, I've saw and seen all the rain and flooding. Actually, we were on my wife and I were on Vlai on Sunday, and it was just a nice day, and all of a sudden it just got dumped on us. So I can only imagine everyone down in the Hudson Valley got within like that quick hit of water. It's intense.
Yeah. So definitely there's a massive flood in the Hudson Valley. There's a lot of areas that got hit really fall. There's Highland Falls and stuff like that down near the Kingston area. New Paltz got hit pretty hard. A lot of these places, like you said, beautiful day, and all of a sudden just massive downpours, big, huge events happened. And a lot of people called this like a 1,000 year event. Like this wouldn't happen for another 1,000 years. I mean, to be honest, I've seen this stuff in the past 10 years, and it's, you know, it's happening a little bit more often than expected.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad to see people lose houses, cars. One person lost their life, I believe, and all the damage. I can't remember where it was, but I saw a woman lost her life. It's pretty sad.
And unfortunately, you know, once again, watch for the forecast, because forecasts can mean everything. You know, Ed probably knew it was going to happen, and he was well prepared. But sometimes you have to take those forecasts into like precautions with that stuff, because it can be, you know, deadly, especially when you're driving home. Most likely when you're driving home, because those places become flooded, and you have no way to get home. But I forgot the saying of like, if you can't see the ground, or you can't see the concrete, don't drive through it, or something. There was a rhyme saying that I remember hearing people say. But you know, if you can't see the bottom of the concrete for where you're driving, don't drive through it, because that might be a sinkhole waiting to happen, or it might be totally flooded that's going to wipe your car out onto the thing, and you might have an unfortunate accident.
Yeah, knock on wood. I've been lucky on that front for a while.
Well, I think your karma is very, very good. So
I hope. I try to spread the positivity for sure. Keep it going.
You definitely do. You definitely do. So also, you know, I found this article. My friend sent me this about a man brought a gun into a national park to he was scared of bears, and then he actually shot a bear and killed a bear in Jasper National Park up in Canada. That was a little odd. Sorry, let me find the article. Okay, so Canadian hiker brings shotgun to national park, shoots black bear because he was scared. That's nice.
Well, you know, Stash, I mean, we have hunting season in the Catskills, but I was running on Panther last year, and there was a gentleman on the trail with a gun. He was looking for bear. I was like, oh my gosh, I just ran up on some guy with a gun. So, you know, it could happen. You know, it happens here. You know, hikers, runners, people just recreating got to be aware of hunting season. And I don't know if that person was allowed to be on the hiking trail with a gun, but
no, I do not know if there's a hunting. I don't know if there's a hunting season in the national parks or not. I'm not sure, but I know it's illegal.
No, in the Catskills, like in the Catskills, even here in the Catskills, we got to watch out with people with guns shooting bears, you know, wear your orange, wear bright clothes.
I mean, this was in a national park in Canada. So I know national park, it's illegal to carry a firearm. I mean, unless, you know, it's illegal to shoot a firearm, number one. But when he went to court, he also said he was not guilty, and they fined him $7,500 for shooting a black bear. Because you know, the black bear race and the grizzly race is diminishing as we speak, because you know, different climate changes and global warming, stuff like that, is limiting their area to habitat and stuff. Their seasons of which they go into hibernation and stuff like that is really getting slim. So I just thought that would be something funny, that, you know, not funny, but funny, that he brings a shotgun and shoots a bear because he was scared, not because he was being attacked, because he was scared.
Yeah.
And we've seen all, of course, the internet shows us all these encounters with bears that the grizzlies just sit there and people walk up within 20, 30 feet of them and just watch it, and the grizzly does nothing. So, and I've heard black bears are never, very, very, very rarely aggressive. Yeah. Have you ever had a encounter?
From far away. I get snorted at on Bear Pen, actually, last year, 2 years ago. And then just driving, I think driving around Seeger this year, earlier in the year, we saw, actually before I saw you in Woodland Valley, my wife and I were driving, and then we saw a little bear cub, saw our car, and then she just hopped into the creek. But other than that, that's how I like to see bears, from far away.
Correct. Yeah. Never have I had a close bear encounter as well. I've seen them from a great distance. But you know, I've never felt like every time they're like, oh crap, it's a human, and they run. They don't want to get shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's keep that going.
Let's keep that definitely going. All right. So welcome to episode 83 of Inside the Line, the Catskill Mountain podcast. I have Ed Quinton. Is that how you say?
Yep. That's it.
Yes. Yes. I got it right in the first try about it.
Ed Quinton. Yeah, it's like a weird Polish name, but yeah.
Hey, I'm Polish as well. My name's my real name is Stosh, of course. So I have Ed here to talk about trail running. And he is a trail runner that I met on Woodland Valley when we were doing our SAR preventative search and rescue kind of day up in Woodland Valley. And we see Ed over there warming up and getting ready to go. And he talks to us. He knows about the podcast. And he's sitting there telling us that he's ready to do the Woodland Valley Loop, basically Slide, Wittenberg, Cornell, and back down 14 miles. And he's just like, I'm hoping for 4.5 hours. And I was just like, and you were happy jumping around, freaking
doing like black flips. Who doesn't love the Catskills? And yeah, it's a good time, many times to run.
Yeah, I was just like, I got to get this guy on the show. I got to get him on the show. He is a positive, cool dude. I can't wait. So welcome to the show, Ed. Good to see you here, bud.
All right.
Yeah.
Pumped.
Look at thumbs up and everything. This guy, everybody needs to meet Ed in their life, and they will have a
goddamn, I don't know. But
you'll have a big smile. So welcome, or thank you to the monthly supporters, Darren White, Vicky Ferrer, John Comiskey, Jim C., Michael Bogner, David Mead, Matt Smith, and Sharon Klein. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Also, a big thank you to Outdoor Chronicles Photography for being sponsor of the show. Molly from Outdoors Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondack, and White Mountains. Also, don't forget your pets. They are just as important. She is also an officiant for getting married and a licensed guide, so don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly on platforms. Also, have you ever wanted to learn more about hiking and backpacking, or even just brush up on some of the skills in the backcountry? Check Trailbound Project, a hiking and backpacking school located in New Jersey. Scott and Joe from the New Jersey Search and Rescue Team has amazing skills for you to learn and some new skills that they are willing to help you out with. So check them out on their website and all social media platforms. They have some amazing stuff. Those guys are the best, and I look forward to joining them in one of their future endeavors, hopefully. So, Ed, you having anything to drink tonight, buddy?
I've got a few things. I got, you know, a coffee,
okay,
a water, and I'm rolling with the non-alcoholic beer tonight because I'm still at work. So
sweet. What's that non-alcoholic beer, bud?
It's just Athletic Brewing. You see it all over now. It's pretty tasty. Tastes like non-alcoholic beer. It's cool.
Nice. Hydrating. Never heard of it.
Yeah, you see it a lot now.
Is that what you pop out at when you do your 4 hour, 14 mile hikes? You freaking just pop that open and done?
Actually, this past weekend I was, because it's hydrating. You know, it's water. I mean, there's no, like, a little bit of alcohol, and it's hop water, and just to kind of get some cold fluids in. Yeah.
Do you do the stone cold thing of smashing them together and pouring them down?
You know what? Next time I'm going to do it, and I'm going to videotape it, and I'm going to send it to you just so you can see it. Like, thanks, Dosh.
Please do. So what else? What did you hike last? You told me Vlai. Talk about your previous hikes, buddy.
Yeah. So Sunday we did Vlai, and then Saturday I dropped my wife off at Barnum, and she hiked from Barnum and Caudle, Thomas Cole, Black Dome, Black. And then she went escarpment trail over to Windham. And then I drove from Windham, and then I ran the opposite way. So we met up on Blackhead, and she was hiking. Then I went the opposite way, hit the road, and then up. And it was fun. It was beautiful. It was actually really, really, my first time doing it. It's really enjoyable. It's like so beautiful. Really, really great.
How was the trail going from Camel's Hump to Thomas Cole? That's my trail maintenance area.
I went the opposite way.
Oh, okay.
It was fine. It was cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. There's nothing on the trail. Excellent work, bud.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Just nothing, wanted to. Nothing in the road.
What was your time?
Six hours. 6 hours, something like that. 6 hours. 6:03. Not that. So was
that's going from Windham all the way to Barnum Road.
Windham to Windham. Yeah. Windham to Windham.
What?
So you do Windham. Yeah. And then after Barnum, you hit the road, and then you make your way on Big Hollow, and then up Peck, and then down. And then I hiked back up to meet the missus. It was fun. It's a good day.
How many miles was that?
Just under 20. So like 19 and a half.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
But I'm not, it's just fun. I'm just trying to roll back the years. You know, I'm a little bit older than you. And I'm just trying to roll back the years and make up for lost time and have fun.
I like it. I love it.
You know?
So what about the Vlai hike? How was that? Easy as heck.
It started out great. I was looking just to run while my wife was hiking, but midway through, like, it just started opening up on us. So it turned into a hike, and we just made it up and signed the canister, laughed, and it was like, it was so much water coming down that little Jeep road or whatever it is. It's like you could have had a raft.
Wow.
It was like crazy. Yeah. It was just, but so that was wet. It's been wet the past like 3 weekends.
Yeah. So was it scary? Like sometimes that stuff frightens me. Like, I'm just like, oh man.
The thunder was nearby. But the week before that, we were on North Dome and Cheryl, and right at the end, coming back to
Shaft, that beautiful Shaft.
Yeah,
road.
Shaft. Yeah, Shaft. Shaft. So right across the river, a tree fell. I'm like, oh my Lord! Like,
wow.
It was pretty close. It wasn't close, but it was pretty close. You know, it wasn't like 2 feet, but it was like maybe 30 yards away.
That was just a random falling, like the wind blowing and rain.
Oh, it was raining and random trees were falling. So good thing you got out of there. Yeah.
Crazy. You have done some crazy hikes. Yeah, it
was a beautiful anytime. You know, rain, brutal sun, winter.
Yeah, right.
Great. Love it all.
I love it all too, as well. See, this is your positivity and your love of the Catskills is crazy. I love it.
Well, and thanks for for everyone that likes the Catskills and listen to your podcast. Thanks for putting out all the stuff that you do. It's really cool hearing about the history, the geology. We talked at Woodland Valley about Dr. Kudish. I hope I got his name right. Yep. That's just so hip to me. You know, I'm not in that world. So to hear someone talk about the history of the Catskills in that way, and the woods and the first growth forest, it's really, really cool.
Well, thank you. I have fun doing it, of course.
Yeah.
So recently we had the search and rescue team had a drill up at Bel Air Mountain. So the whole thing was a 24 hour mock drill. So basically what a mock drill is you go in blindfolded. You don't know what's going on. And they tell you like, hey, this is the situation. How are you going to do everything? So It was going from Saturday evening into Sunday afternoon. So 24 hours.
What?
So the situation was two guys were working up on Bel Air Mountain. They got in an altercation and apparently they kind of fought each other and then they both separated ways and they weren't heard of again. Like they've been missing for a certain amount of hours. So people were concerned. So we had to, of course, you know, the people that showed up from where there was New Jersey search and rescue team and there was the Catskill Mountain search and rescue team that showed up. Going in blind, of course, you don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know if you have medical, you don't know if it's navigational, you don't know how anything else, you know, you're going in 100% real stuff. So we had to, I was there on the second day. So I'm going in from my other teammates, their observings. They had to search every single ski trail up the mountain.
My gosh.
And then every single trail around the mountain for these guys. So they found a couple clues, but nothing kind of came into like, ooh, he will be here. Just some like thing of maybe like a beer can here or a couple beer cans over here. Nothing really crazy. So some of the people spent the night at the top of the mountain and some of the lean-tos, you know, there's the Bel Air lean-to, the Hirscher lean-to, different places. So the next morning we come in and we're getting, you know, word of this thunderstorms rolling in, the massive, you know, thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms. Me and my other teammate David show up that day and we're waiting to be tasked out. You know, a lot of people don't understand. You can't be just thrown out into the wild upon a search because, you know, there might be other teams that already looked at that area or, you know, they need to strategically plan out where he might be next instead of just throwing you out into the open and being like, hey, search here. And then all of a sudden it's worthless. So at the top of the mountain, they find some more clues. They find more beer bottles. They find a cooler full of stuff. And then they find, I think it was a scarf or something. So this is leading very close. Then they search this area and they're just like, we found him. We got him. He is unconscious. We need to get someone up there as quick as possible. So they look over at me and my friend Dave, and they're like, you guys got to take that litter up to Bel Air, top of Bel Air Mountain, as fast as possible. And we're like, great. So
should have took a gondola.
I know. So that's the thing. I'm just like, wait, there's a road going up to the top. Can't we just drive a truck up there? And they're like, no, there's no trucks available. I'm like, what are we, the 1800s? Like, come on. So, but me and Dave had to hike all the way up the mountain. So they have a litter that has a wheel in the middle. And two people taking it up is pretty difficult because the balance has got to be there. You know, we're in the front and the back. We're balancing, I think it was 1.2 miles with like 950 feet of elevation gain.
My gosh.
Yes. So me and David did it in 56 minutes.
Oh, heck yeah.
And it was Sunday. It was brutal hot as heck. You know, it was humid as heck.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad because I'm just like, dude, we got to go like the next hump. And then I got to sit down. I felt bad. But 56 minutes going up pretty up that area is not bad. It's not bad for us.
And was it like real soggy? The ground wasn't like hard ground too, right? Like
it wasn't bad, I gotta admit, but it was a lot of loose rocks. So you'd start pushing that or pulling that thing up and then it would kind of tilt and you'd have to recorrect yourself. And then I was holding the back stuff. We were switching positions. It was a mess, but we got up there pretty quick. David was a little impressed with me, which is crazy because he's one of those massive, like crazy Adirondack for like hikers, 46ers that hike stuff in the winter in like 8 hours, which is insane.
Yeah.
But we get to him. So we locate him, we get down there, they strap him up. We get him down the mountain. The funny thing is it took us longer to get down the mountain than it did for us to get up the mountain.
No. Yeah, for sure.
So sure. It was really awesome time. You know, I really thank Bel Air Mountain for letting us do a practice on there, do a drill on there, because, you know, it's tough to find a place. We were supposed to do it in Mohonk Preserve, but they, for some reason, backed out last second. So Bel Air Mountain kicked in and they were just like, hell yeah, do it, you know, represent the Catskills, you know, whatever. It's not going to be a bad thing. And we all kicked some ass, I will say, instead of, no, we kicked ass. Let's say that we kicked ass. And once again, we can prove that we are a fantastic team. New Jersey Search and Rescue is a fantastic team. You work together. The funny thing is, New Jersey is not used to our elevation gains here, so they were hating it.
Hey, I'm from New Jersey. No, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Bad joke. Right. Well, you guys, you got some. You know, you can do like some pretty massive elevation gains down there in a quick ascent. You know, like 1 mile.
Yeah, Mount Tammany. I think, yep. I'm thinking Mount Tammany. Yeah.
It's where a lot of people train. They do it like 3 or 4 times. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah, Tammany's tough. That's where like I kind of cut my hiking teeth, my wife and I. And yeah, it's tough. Tammany's sweet. Tough.
Yeah. So it was a fantastic time. I really appreciate New Jersey Search and Rescue, and our team is fantastic. So one hell of a time. We ripped it up. And we got out there right in time. It started raining when I was leaving. And then I heard of the floods right after that. So it was crazy. So that was my previous
hike. Thank you guys. Thank you all for training and for being prepared to, if anything ever happens to someone in the Catskills, you guys will all be there. So thank you.
Be there for anybody and everybody as soon as possible, you know, we'll be there. So once again, thanks for your previous hikes, man. That's awesome stuff to hear that you're flying around the mountains like usual and
I'm
enjoying
not flying.
Everything.
I'm trying. I'm not flying. I'm trying.
why aren't you involved in the escarpment run?
I think, well, you have to qualify. I think I could have qualified for this year, but 2 weeks after the escarpment, I'm running another race. Well, I'm not racing. It's an event. Like, I think of it as an event.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get hurt for that or get too worked for that. So I'm going to try and go there and support people and maybe try and jump in at an aid station or something, but I haven't had anything nailed down yet.
See, listen to this guy. He's awesome. I love it.
I don't know. You're awesome. I heard your podcast with Dick. Are you going to be there?
I'm thinking about doing kind of like an aid station, the search and rescue. He's asked the search and rescue team to be there.
That's so cool.
I got to see what's going on. That's a Sunday. So I might be, you know, crossing off another peak with my wife, Jessica. Hopefully she's
important.
Got 12, 13 left, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't miss a stop.
Every one of, are like the twofers. So it's North Dome and Cheryl, Big Indian Fur, Wittenberg, Cornell. She's got a lot of twofers to go for. So we'll see. But yeah, hopefully I'll be there. So that'll be it's July 30th. I think so.
Yeah. Something like that.
So
Saturday. Excellent.
Once again, thank you, Ed, for your previous hike. So also volunteering 3500 club has trailhead stewards. Catskill Trail Crew has some openings going on. They have some stuff doing. They were just up on Slide Mountain cleaning up water bars. Did an awesome job. They're over on Drybrook Ridge cleaning down a lot of blowdown. These guys are killing it with the Catskills and our trails. Our trails are going to be fantastic because of everyone helping out and you're volunteering. Like I said, with Dick, that volunteering for one time in 365 your whole year could help out significantly. So just imagine these thousands of hikers that come here. You volunteer once. That is 8 hours times, that's 8,000 hours volunteering. So, yeah. Also, Catskill Mountain Club's Visitor Center, Catskill's Visitor Center, New York, New Jersey Trail Conference, all those have definitely opened in volunteering. I definitely want everybody to volunteer. So, volunteer, MFers. See. All right. So
I'm one of those MFers. I've got to get my volunteering hat on, but
you will
keep putting it out there, Stosh.
One time, man. That's all I ask. So Ed, how about we do a quick little Catskill Mountain history?
That's all about. Let's hear it.
All right. So I recently went to Margaretville. My wife wanted to go shopping. She didn't want to go hiking. So we had to go shopping.
You gotta do that too. You gotta break it up.
Yeah. So we went down to Margaretville and I found this awesome book called The Catskill Park Inside the Blue Line. It was by Norman J. Van Valkenburg and Christopher Only. Only? I think it's O-N-O-L-N-E-Y. Only. Something weird.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds good. I like it. So awesome. You know, I'm deep into this book so far. It's fantastic. Tells history of almost everything in the Catskills. So I have a little piece that I'm going to read off right here. Hopefully it'll be interesting for everyone. Okay. So today, today, beautiful views of the mountains clad in a thick cover of forest await motorists traveling through such places as Stony Clove or the Peekamoose Valley, and they lie before hikers standing atop Giant Ledge, Westco Mountain, or even the cab of Balsam Lake Mountain Fire Tower. But it's not always been this way. Virtually the whole region was cut over and settled during the 18th and 19th centuries, with our forebears extracting the resources needed to build a growing young nation. Hardwood timber was cut, hemlocks were stripped of their bark, pastures were cleared to high elevations, bluestone was mined from the hills, and acid factories sprang up on many streams and dumped their poisons into the streams. Unlike the great conservation stories of the American West and other places, where dedicated people fought to save the last most important tracts of the great wilderness, the story of the Catskill Mountain Forest Preserve is instead a story of wilderness lost and wilderness recovered. This is another fact that makes New York Forest Preserve unique. There are an estimated 65,000 acres of first growth forest in the central Catskill Mountains that are largely inaccessible and presumably never cut substantially by man, according to Catskill Forest History expert Michael Kudish. Awesome guy. Most of the forests we see in the Catskills today, however, are fairly even age stands that have growth from old pastures and clear cuts. Most of the original Catskill wilderness was lost to exploitation. Most of it has been recovered through conservation and good private land stewardship. When the Forest Preserve was established in 1885, it consisted of only 33,894 acres in the Catskills, and there was still a significant amount of heavy resource extraction occurring in neighborhood private lands. For example, the Fenwick Lumber Company's operations on the flanks of Hunter Mountain during the first decades of the 1900s. I actually went over that with Dr. Kudish. It was fantastic stuff. So if you've ever been on Southwest Hunter, mostly that place was extracted of all its wood. It's crazy. The expansion of the Forest Preserve has been a long, gradual process of acquiring lands that were, for the most part, heavily used and allowing them to recover and mature naturally. Much was written in the 20th century about the value of preserving wilderness. New York's own wilderness champion, Howard Zanheisner, spoke well of the wilderness in 1955 when he was fighting for a system of federal wilderness preservation. He said, "It is characteristic of wilderness to impress visitors with their relationship to other forms of life and to afford those who linger in intimidation for the independence of all life. In the wilderness, it is thus possible sense to most keenly our human membership to the whole community of life on earth, and it is possibly perhaps one explanation for our modern deep-seated need for wilderness. We deeply need the humility to know ourselves of the dependent members of the great community of life, and this can indeed be one spiritual benefit of a wilderness experience. Without gadgets, without the inventions, without the controversies whereby men have seemed to establish amongst themselves an independence of nature, without these distractions, to know the wilderness is to know a profound humility, to recognize one littleness, to sense dependence and interdependence, indebtedness and responsibility." So yeah, I mean, that's
heavy.
Yeah, definitely. So once again, the Catskills were once a place that was almost completely like lived upon, was completely like inhabited by people. And what we see today, you know, when you're climbing up maybe Plateau Mountain from Mink Hollow, that was once all forested. You know, going up Southwest Hunter from Devil's Path area from Spruceton was cleared, clear cut, nothing there. That stream you see down there was once a kind of river flow area for wood. It's insane.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking about that. Was there like a chute up on that herb? Yep. Like you can almost see where like the cut. Envision like where they like just threw it down.
I gotta find that picture because like at the top where it's the call of Southwest Hunter and Hunter used to be, like you said, a little water chute because you know that that lean-to has a lot of water around it. It's got nettles galore.
Nettles.
It's a crappy lean-to, but that had the water, so that water would build up, and they would make a massive chute that went down all the way down on the spruce and dally, and it would have massive amounts of logs, and then all of a sudden one log would shoot down, and it, just imagine how fast that thing got.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in front of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you go over, once again, you go over in the Windham Mountain, and I'm pretty sure Windham was clear cut almost near to the stop, and there were pastures up there. There was just pastures of, you know, for farm animals and for farms, just to clear cut stuff and grass. It's almost crazy to think that almost all the Catskills were once habited.
And that was about early 1900s, 1800s. So,
yep. Before then, yeah. When, sorry to say, the white man came into the Catskill, it started becoming that way. We have the barking industry, the tanning industry. And then they said the bluestone industry, which was more towards the southern part of the Catskills. But the tanning industry was everywhere. That took over every place.
Yeah. So nice to see the streams, though, recover. I mean, as much as,
right?
as they have, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I forgot what previous episode, you know, when those trees were stripped, all that stuff used to, all the side hilling of the streams used to just fall in the streams, and then we create muddy streams. Trout wouldn't like that. And now we have some amazing crystal clear streams that you want to just lay in forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, when you bushwhack, you hit those, the Neversink. I mean, you hit the Beaver Kill. You hit even the Esopus.
Yeah. It's
beautifully clear stuff. And then all those tributaries are just beautiful.
Yeah, they're special for darn sure.
Yeah. Awesome. So thanks, Ed, for listening to my horrible bit of Catskill Mountain history.
No, I loved it. That was great. Thank you. I'll have to check out that book.
Yes, definitely. Once again, The Catskill Park Inside the Blue Line by Norman J. von Valkenburg and Christopher Only. Cool. Something like that. Really weird. All right. So we'll go over some sponsors real quick and we'll get right to Ed. So you want some new gear for the hiking in the Catskills? Say no more. Camp Catskill in Tannersville has all your hiking needs. From spikes to snowshoes to moisture-wicking shirts and McCatskill memorabilia, they have all the essentials for hiking the Catskills, and they also have an online store. Check them out. I'm wearing one of their hats right now. I love his stuff. Ryan hiked with us when we went up to Overlook Mountain for the longest day hike for the Alzheimer's Association. Got to know him a little bit more. He's an awesome dude. Check out Camp Catskill when you're in the area. Please do, because they have awesome shirts. I got a Catskill Fire Tower shirt that I love to wear. I love it. So, Ed, stop in there. You better stop in there. All right. So if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take the scenic route. Scenic Route Guidings are here to help with your goals, big or small. Check out Scenic Route Guiding Gear Rentals on Instagram and Facebook for more information. Also, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off. Use the code word Mountain Lion. Mountain Lions are the best.
Yeah. I saw your picture that you posted with the Mountain Lion on Graham.
Yes, right. And it was such a nice kitty. He was
really cute.
I tried to, you know, but it didn't work. That thing was a little skittish.
Well, next time.
Next time I'm going to bring up a big old T-bone steak. I'm just going to hang it there. Well, next time we can't do that on Grand. So next time when I'm on South Double Top, I'll bring a T-bone steak and I'll be like, hey, It'll be just like a catnip treat. So
sounds good. You might see me coming up there. If I smell T-bone, I'm like, oh, what's this?
Yeah. And then it's going to be raw, man. You're going to eat it raw.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Anything for protein, right?
Hey, got to get it in somehow.
Right. So let's get on to the guest of the night.
Let's go.
Ed Kitwin, who is a trail runner in the Catskills. So a little bit of short history between me and Ed. I had met Ed when we were on the search and rescue preventative. It's called Preventative SAR in Woodland Valley. And I see this guy over to my left, hopping and jumping and stretching and getting ready to go. And he's thanking us for what we do. And he's positive guy. And I'm just like, this guy is the best. And we're talking to him And this guy, we're like, hey, what are you planning on doing? You know, being those search and rescue people and wanting to get to talk to people. He's like, oh, I'm going to do the whole loop in 4 hours, 4.5 hours. And we're like, what? And I'm just like, and then all of a sudden he's off. So I was just like, I got to get him on the freaking show, because this guy is the happiest guy I've ever met in my life. And he's just a positive influence. I love his stuff. So Ed, welcome to the show, sir.
All right. Thanks, Sash. Thank you.
Damn straight. I'm good to have you on here, man. I've seriously been waiting for this ever since we booked, because
this is cool.
Yeah. I told my wife all about it. I'm just like, I can't wait to have this guy. He's such a positive guy. I can't wait to hear some of his stories. I can't wait to hear how he got into trail running, because a lot of this stuff is a big question for me, because trail running is crazy. I find that I come down the goddamn mountain and I'm like an old man on a walker. I can't freaking do anything.
You know, I think all trail runners are hikers and all hikers are trail runners. Like, you know, running, like the definition of it is like just move fast on their walk. But how many times have we've hiked up to a summit and then you trot down for a little bit? I mean, that's trail running. It doesn't have to be like miles or, you know, to your trail running, man. You know, there's no reason to put such a big barrier. I mean, everybody's doing it. You know, it's correct. When we're hiking, we're all trail running, you know?
Correct. You got a good point there. So Ed, why don't you give a little background about yourself, sir?
Well, I'm actually kind of new into trail running in general and in the Catskills. My wife and I moved back to the area in 2013, 2014, and then we started hiking locally in New Jersey at Ramapo Reservation and Mount Tammany, Harriman State Park, Bear Mountain. We used to go to Bear Mountain all the time.
Oh, nice.
And then, yeah, it's great. It's local. It's quick, quick to get to. And then what really sealed the deal for us, we were basically noobs, and we went out to Yosemite. It was so beautiful.
Oh, nice.
And that was it. We need to go back, but like that was like our introduction to hiking.
Yosemite. That's pretty crazy. That's for it. An introduction to hiking, man.
Oh, it's funny. I have a funny story, actually.
Go right ahead.
So I'm like that quintessential noob. So you saw me running, but like I was laughing because I make silly mistakes all the time. And so first mistake is, know your trail, right? So I was looking, I want to do the 4 mile trail. It was like 4 miles, basically with switchbacks up to the rim. And we thought that would be kind of like easier for us. And I was sick because we flew and the dryness just killed me. We went to Death Valley. And so I was kind of sick, but I made a mistake. I was thinking, oh, Upper Yosemite Falls. I was like, okay, so this is our trail. And we're all pumped, but like I'm thinking the one trail, but going on the other trail. And so then we had, our bags, and we had a bladder, but here's mistake number two. I filled up with the water that they had there that was really, I don't know, it was like really chlorinated. I think it was just washing dishes. So we had a tough time going up, and it was all me.
No way.
But we did it. Great pictures, great views. And we made it down. It probably took us like 17 hours. It was great.
Wow. So that 4 miles, like round trip.
I can't remember. I think it's one way. Maybe I can't remember the trail.
So like that going up there is pretty steep. You know, you got a lot of elevation gain.
Yeah, well, and for us, we didn't have like apps on our phone. I brought the guidebook with me. I'm like, oh, is this the viewpoint? And it was nowhere. I was like, I don't see the falls.
But still, that's an awesome first experience, though.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, so that got you into hiking, and then did you start locally down in New Jersey and stuff?
Yeah. So we would hike at our local county park, Ramapo. We went to the Gunks a bunch. We would go to Mount Tammany, but it wasn't regular. It was like, you know, one weekend, maybe skip a few weekends. Oh, it's gonna rain. Let's not go. You know, I was waiting for the perfect time. You know.
Yeah.
And then just from there, then we finally I think it was 2016. Was our first Catskills Peak, and we did Panther from Giant Ledge. and that was fun. That was it. And we were hooked.
You know, I got to admit, New Jersey, Ramapo is an awesome area.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really, really nice. It's really, really nice. It's a great park.
Yeah. Geological. I mean, there's a massive amount of trails, but even if you go off trail, the geological stuff is absolutely fantastic.
By accident, I've been off trail. I've been lost in between Ramapo and Ringwood before. So I've seen and fell over a bunch of those nice, beautiful rocks.
Exactly. And, you know, right. Have you been to Sterling State Forest right up near there?
When I was a kid, is that Northern Green?
Sterling's
there once.
Northern New Jersey. Yeah. It's right along the New Jersey.
Maybe once.
It's fantastic, dude. Go up there and check it out. It's right at the, you know, the funny thing is we had like a search and rescue training there, and it was like, I'm looking over a lake and I'm like, what the hell is that massive complex over there? And that's like somebody goes, that's the Jehovah Witnesses, like, central area. I'm like, what?
Hey,
yeah,
cool.
And we were like, okay. But on the other side of that was awesome geological stuff, like little hills that are massive rocks, glacier erratics all over the place. You know, I wish it wasn't that far away, or I would go down to there more often, because it's just, you wander off trail and you will find some amazing geological shit. It's crazy.
You might find this interesting. So in Ramapo, there's actually a ledge with cactus. So,
whoa, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it gets, they're pretty resilient because it gets trampled on because it's literally right on the trail, and they call it cactus ledge. But hey, that's what I got.
Look at that. That's awesome. So that got you into more hiking. How long did you hike for until you progressed into trail running?
Well, do you know who Uli Steck was? Do you know Uli Steck?
I'm not familiar.
He was a mountaineer. Dude, check out YouTube. Google Uli Steck, North Face of the Eiger. I mean, he was this amazing mountaineer and athlete. And like, yeah, I want to do that. I still want to do some mountaineering and stuff. But he was just ripping up the mountain. And there was this one video I saw of him training, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, I just run up the mountain. I get my cardio that way, and I do some climbing. I'm in the gym, and that kind of got the wheels turning. But then I'm pretty sure it was one of Mountain Peak Fitness video of Mike Sudi and his Duratissima when he did all the peaks in one push. And that was like, oh man, now I'm in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really didn't start running in the Catskills like 2018 or so. So, and it's not like all the time now, it's more, you know, we come up more often and really enjoying it. But, yeah, so it was we were just hiking for years and then just slowly putting it together.
Nice. And like, starting the trail run, you definitely have to learn a lot differently to hop over things and then go up the mountain quickly and stuff. So, like, did you do any training for this or anything like that, or did you just cop right into it?
I started not in the Catskills.
Okay.
Because Catskills is, you know, it's pretty certain trails. Like, I wouldn't recommend everyone to rip down, you know, Woodland Valley as their first go. But like I mentioned before, my local county park, Ramapo, has nice trails, nice rolling trails. There's some technical parts, but just getting used to looking down and then progressing from looking down to looking forward and down. So scanning and just getting general trail sense.
Yeah.
But,
and that's, I'm guessing that's the biggest kind of stuff you face is your next step, basically, while also, you know, kind of projecting yourself to the next possible object.
For me, 100%. I mean, some people just fly. I don't really fly, but I have fun.
Yeah, definitely. So what is it like when you're flying on the trails and you see someone? Is it like, hey, how you doing? You run by?
No, I mean, I try to say hi to everyone. You know, I try to be that guy, that person, and say hi, you know.
Good. At least meet and greet, or not meet, but greet at least.
Yeah. Me personally, when I'm going up, like, so when I saw you, I was going up Wittenberg, like, I'm not running that, you know, the whole time. Some sections, yeah, but I'm power hiking it and I'm huffing and puffing, just like how every other hiker does it, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the faster people, they can run it. Like Steve Lang, I think he's got the FKT in like 2 hours and 10 minutes or 2 hours, 20, some crazy. And, but he's probably just flying up, but that's not me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I remember once again, you saying that you're a positive guy. And so a lot of the people that I meet that are trail running just kind of, hey, and they fly right by you. So having somebody on the positive side is actually very, very good.
Well, also if they're just saying like, hey, I mean, they could be working really hard, just can't make sentences, you know,
that's true.
There is that aspect, or like, hey, on your left, on your right, you know, it's just so much to concentrate. And then, depending on the trails, there's sometimes they're wide, sometimes they're not wide. You don't want to get stabbed by a tree poking out or break your ankles on some nice Catskill rocks.
Some Catskill.
Sometimes it's like a lot of focus, you know?
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah. And you know, a lot of those times you basically, you don't even hear you guys freaking coming up, and all of a sudden it's like to your right, and you're just like, Jesus. And you guys hop right on by. It's crazy. It's awesome, but it's crazy. And us normal hikers are looking at you guys and like,
no, I'm a normal hiker. It's all the same. You just said you ripped it up, Bel Air with your buddy, and you guys were carrying some heavy thing. I mean, that's trail running. That's training for trail running.
That's very true. That's very true.
It is.
But still, like, you guys, the fly up and down the mountain is crazy. You know, I've never felt like bad about you guys. But like when you fly by, I'm just like, those assholes are going to make it down 2 hours before I am. They're going to get something to eat 2 hours before I am. They're going to rest 2 hours before I am. I'm sick and tired of it.
Maybe unless we have to call you, and then it's a bad day.
It's usually very rare. But there's a lot of definitely challenges you guys face, because you have to go faster. You know, once again, the projection of what you have to do next has got to be crazy insane. So what are some of the other challenges that you face with trail running, Matt?
Well, specifically in the Catskills, for me anyways, as we know, the rock is pretty slick. So having footwear that you personally like and you feel comfortable with, and I'm not just talking about like the feel and the fit of the shoe, but something with some really good grip. I think that's really, really important. And just finding something that works for you, that you know you're gonna have some security on the rock is major. That, in addition to really scanning and looking ahead, looking down but looking forward, and that for me, that's been a progression from, you know, picking my head up and looking forward so you can see things, see people. For me, it's pretty hard to do, but it's been getting better.
Nice.
You know? Different. Sorry to cut you off, but different trails are like easier, you know, like the Woodland Valley Loop, the slide loop's pretty difficult, but I've been running along Hunter on the old carriage road. That's going up, that's nice. You it's not really technical. It's steep.
Yeah.
But you don't have to worry about your underfoot placement.
Yeah. So one big question that I have with the challenges is like your nutrition, your water intake, stuff like that. I see you guys running with like two goddamn water bottles on there. And then maybe like a bladder pack. That's insane, man. I have a pack that's like 30 pounds minimum.
Well, when I hike or my snowshoe, I carry quite a bit, but for me that's an ongoing process. So when I saw you, I went a little lighter, but I took a liter and a half, but I know I need a liter per hour. So one flask, you have water, and another flask I'll have like electrolytes or like a carbohydrate drink that has electrolytes and sugar in it. But it's all about knowing yourself. Like when I was on, did the Wyndham Loop last week, I had three and a half liters. And I actually saw my wife coming down and she gave me a refill.
Nice.
So that was cool. and I bring the Kadeton, I can never pronounce the word, the soft flask,
yeah,
with the liter soft flask. So I fill water up, but if I need to, just scoop something out as the filter. So,
oh, nice.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Most people I know do, you know, and hikers, obviously they bring pumps.
Yeah.
Depending on the trail, how long they're going out for.
Yeah. You know, so what about like food intake?
I like gels. I like chews. I like honey stinger stuff, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm not sponsored. Yeah. But it all, you have to get used to what you want to bring. So you have to like try it out a little, maybe add into what you normally do, because maybe your stomach might not agree with it. I know we were talking about any interesting stories, so I don't really have too many interesting stories, but I do have a nutrition story last year. So I was getting ready for the Cat's Tail Marathon, which is the hippest trail marathon in the world, in my opinion.
Explain that route.
Oh, okay. So it's Mike Sudi and I believe Charlie from the trail.
Charlie Gottle.
Trail team. They put this event on. It's super awesome. And it goes from Fox Hollow up to Panther, down Giant's Ledge, down Panther to the Winnesuit Club, up Slide, Cornell, Wittenberg. And then you go down Wittenberg and then you make that right to the trails out to Lane Street. I think it's like, what is that? Cross Mountain.
Yeah. Romer. Yeah. Terrace Mountain, stuff
and
like that.
And then you hit. Yeah. Yeah. And like that 9 mile stretch and then you hit the road and then you end up in Phoenicia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. There's some great videos on YouTube from Mountain Peak Fitness that put those out. You guys should everyone should look at it because it's hip. I don't know any of those people, you know, but they do really great stuff. And it's great for the Catskills hiking and trail running community, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But so I was training for that and I was on Eastern Devil's Path and it was hot. And I was taking fluids, but I was trying something different. I was using a different chew and then a gel and then just upset my stomach. And I was like, my wife was hiking and she was like, oh, you're going to go Sugarloaf? I'm like, I'm not going to go Sugarloaf. She's like, come on. Like, what are you? I was like, okay. So then I make it up to Sugarloaf. Then coming down, I was like, oh my gosh, this is not good. Everything just came right up. I was hiking up Twin and it was just like, it was a mess. It was not good. I was completely dehydrated. I was hungry, everything. And then we met, I can't remember it was earlier that day or something, but we met these two other hikers. And so I'm just trying to get back, but I'm talking with them. They're so nice. But meanwhile, I'm talking with them. I'm trying to hold in my puke. It was bad news. So that being said, you have to really, find something that works for you, and try it out. Like that was good. Cause I was trying it out. It wasn't like a race or event, but it wasn't good to, take, you know, it took me like 4 hours to come down Twin or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
It was good times, but there's a lot of, you know, athletic products and even Whole Foods. Like, I like bananas, I like watermelon, rice, potato chips, you know, all candy. It's good. Mm. It's sugar. It gets in.
So basically the sugar flow is very, very good for trail running and stuff like that to keep that energy.
Most definitely for the people that are faster, they might need a little, you know, to bring less, but the calorie expenditure is I would imagine is pretty similar, you know?
Nice. Any recommendations that you like? I mean, I'm not trying to like you said, like endorse anybody, but you know, I'm very curious.
I really like Spring Energy. They make some nice stuff and it's kind of like a puree. It's not a gel. I do like the Honey Stinger chews. They work for me.
Yeah.
And with those, yeah. And when I hike, like I can just eat a whole bag, but if I'm trying to move a little quicker, I can only eat like half a bag at a time.
You're talking about like half of the bags that they have in the pouches, like, or the whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like a sleeve. Calories, something
like that. Yeah, like those little.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'll eat half, or like a waffle, eat half of a waffle at a time.
Okay.
Like wait 20 minutes to eat the other half. But because, you know, for me, it like it's a slow digestion thing, and I don't want to get an upset stomach. But I'm pretty, lately I've been getting behind on calories, so I'm trying to take more natural food. So I'm running with like bananas and stuff like that too.
Cool. I'll put the Spring Energy. I got to look that up. I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's cool. But it works for me. It's tasty. It's real food based. And some of the isotonic gels are pretty cool now too, where you don't see from what I've read with a lot of the gels, you do need to drink water with it. So it could absorb into your system. A lot of the isotonic gels, you need water, but Oh yeah. Those are great. I like the lime one.
Okay.
Have you ever tried the lime ones? I like the lime ones a lot. Cause they have a little salt in there too.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That's good to know. Definitely. Like I'm looking to get more calorie intake because I love to eat, man. That's my thing. And that's my wife's thing. She loves to eat. She'll be like, I need a freaking snack.
On the trail. Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I remember on one of your podcasts, I think you said you bring like a whole big thing of like M&Ms and stuff. You're like loaded. I want to roll with you. That's the way to do it.
My water and my food is probably the heaviest in my pack. Everything else is nothing.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. No, really. It's not.
It makes people happy.
You need water and you need fuel. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So while trim running, you know, there's gotta be extra safety precautions that you started to learn to take. Do you want to adventure onto that?
Yeah, I think the best thing is to if you can tell someone, like just like hiking, hey, so and so, I'm going out for a run. You know, if you don't hear from me at X time, you know, maybe wait for this. You know, check in, have some sort of system like that. Your phone is really important, but we know in the Catskills there's not too much service. So I'm recently just bought an InReach.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm learning with, I think that's really, really key. And then you can share it. You know, you just have to unpair it from your phone to another phone. You know, you have to keep the same, you can't share it on two accounts for a personal account, but you can unpair and give it to a friend or your wife or whoever. But that's really, I think that's really, really important. I personally don't carry like any splints or anything like that, but, I should bring like, I'm pretty good with blisters and stuff like that, but I do bring lube. So if you want, you should bring whatever you use, bring a little bit with you. Cause sometimes things happen and you need to just apply some lube or some things rubbing. Maybe it's your pack, maybe it's the heat, maybe it's rain or something. It's kind of really good. Cause you know, chafing's real.
Yeah.
And, it can slow you down really quick and be in pain. And it sounds silly, but it's true, you know?
It is very true, definitely. So talking about like safety precautions, also like with the difference in terrain and elevation gains, you definitely got to take some different techniques and stuff like that into those different gains. Yeah. I mean, you got Bear Pen Mountain where you can sprint up, but then you got, like you said, Twin and Sugarloaf where you definitely got to take some different techniques. What are your techniques with these different gains?
Well, for me, like I said, I'm not one of the faster people, but I do, anytime for me anyways, going down a technical, Catskills slab or where it's really rocky, like a shorter cadence versus like a longer or wider cadence, a wider stride, shorter stride, higher cadence.
Okay.
There are some amazing people that could really stretch out, but I personally can't. And it's really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah.
It's really important to like make sure you're not stretching too far and you catch yourself on a rock, turn your ankle, break your ankle, catch the toe, your toe. I mean, I fall all the time, but I don't really get too injured these days, knock on wood, but ankle turning is quite common. I don't tape my ankles. I should. I know a lot of people do. And it's just to give a little more support on the outside of your ankle from turning over. The big thing I would say is just cadence and looking, developing that skill of looking. It's pretty hard at first because you just want to look down, but you need to scan ahead because you don't want to, you know, you're running on Cornell and you're looking down and soon, you just like fly off into the Cornell crack. You don't want to do that. So you want to look ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Now, like those challenges, like once again, I'm guessing up, of course, is way easier than down. Down, you got to take a little bit extra precaution.
I mean, everything is relative. I mean, you work hard going up. You might not be like blasting your quads and your legs, but you're exerting a lot of energy. And so that when you are ready to go flat or down, you could be kind of, you're feeling it. You're feeling all the burn from all the activity to climb up. So you do have to kind of keep in mind, well, maybe I won't go as hard if I'm going at first. I'm going up because I know I got this crazy descent coming down, or like coming down twin, we got to hop down things. So it's still kind of all relative to the person.
Yeah.
And to what you have coming up next on your run or trail or race.
You mentioned Twin Mountain, and I can't believe you guys can go down that fast. The west side of Twin is one of the most treacherous in the Catskills.
Yeah, I'm plugging someone that I don't know personally, but his name's Josh Reed. On his Instagram account, he did have him holding his phone ripping down in like 2 minutes. I don't know. It was crazy.
Oh, shit.
But there's some really, there's some really, really fast people. And it's not just men. It's all genders, all sizes. People can really send it.
Yeah. So also, sorry to break off, but Kim Lewinsky is doing the long trail run right now. So I'm sorry to bring that up. Wow, just came up to me. So Kim, keep kicking ass. Hopefully, yeah. Right? Isn't that crazy? I just forgot. I forgot.
That's awesome. And I don't know her, but she puts on a lot of races here in New Jersey and around the area. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully she's kicking ass on the trail. So keep pushing and keep killing.
Let's go, Kim.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Keep it.
So also, I mean, you're talking about trail running. When you did, let's just talk about a time real quick. When you did the Wittenberg, what was it? Wittenberg Cornell, and you went slide and then back down the Woodland Valley. What was your time again?
It was like 3:42 or something like that.
Right. And you said like what, 4 hours and 50? You told us like maybe four and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt it was a good day.
Crushed it.
It was a good day to fall.
Freaking for me, yeah. Crushed it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, bud.
No, we were just like, seriously. So we're sitting there. I mean, sorry to break from the questions, but we're sitting there chatting on, I'm sitting in our chairs and everything. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking, I'm just like, you know, it's been about, you know, 3.5-4 hours. He's got to be coming down soon. And we're all sitting there chatting. All of a sudden, freaking Ed comes flying down that little part, doesn't even walk down the freaking stairs, jumps the goddamn, like, I think it's like 12 steps of stairs. And then he keeps going. I'm like, holy shit, there he is. We go crazy. And we're like, where is he going? I'm like, oh, yeah, he started at like the bridge or something. So
sign to sign. Yeah.
Yeah. So he freaking
It's a personal thing. You know, it's a personal growth thing. It's not for anything.
It was insane.
Thanks. You're all very supportive. Thank you.
dude. Like, and the funny thing is when someone's done with that, you know, they're some people are like dead. They're just like, and they don't want to talk to anybody. Ed comes back and we're cheering him on. He's cheering himself on. He's like, woo, hell yeah. Hell yeah. We were just like, oh man, this guy is wicked. And he wasn't like,
it was a good day.
Yeah.
It was fun.
You know, the funny thing is like, we met another guy that, didn't do a trail run, but he did pretty quick. He came back and he looked at us and walked right away. He didn't say anything to us. He was dead and he hated it.
I mean, you know, it was just a good day for me, you know.
Good day. You freaking killed it.
It's all about personal growth and keep on trying. It doesn't really matter about your time. You know, everyone thinks about their time because it's like the marker, you know, for yourself. But don't get down. You didn't get hurt. You had a great day.
Right.
You're in the Catskills. It's beautiful. It doesn't matter if you're walking or running. It's awesome. But thank you for all your support. That was really cool.
Dude, it was so cool, really cool to see that and to be there for like freaking final moment when you sprinted down through there. It was great.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen in the mountains, I got to admit. Just somebody freaking jumping over steps like Jean-Claude Van Damme and then sprinting down was fantastic. So speaking of that, you know, once you're getting to the end of the trail, or even like 3/4 of the way, you probably start facing some mental challenges of just like, oh man, you know, I remember Steven talking on here when he did the Devil's Path, you know, he knew he had like a mile left and he was getting close to the time. So he started having that mental challenge of like, I got to do this. Do you have like any of those thoughts of, you know, what are your mental challenges when trail running?
Well, all the time. So I'm not in the front like Steve is. So it's a little different. Steve's trying to crush the time. I'm trying to just make the time.
Yeah.
You know? And so generally my mind is pretty strong. So I know, I can keep going. They'll have, like, if I'm in a race, I'm not going to quit unless like something breaks or something. I they'll have to, you know, pull me off the course. Cause a lot of the races have sweeps and they go around and say, oh, well, you didn't make the certain cutoff. So, So for me, the mental challenge is just knowing that I can keep going and that it's okay. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But, generally, don't beat yourself up and stay positive unless you're hurt. Just keep moving forward. Walking is okay. Mm-hmm. And remember it's tough. Cause you have to remember, like you were saying before, you have to remember to eat and remember to drink water. I did a race last month, in New York State, and it was a 50 miler and I was just looking to do it, but I was with some friends and it was fun and we were rolling through and I wasn't really drinking water. And then that caught up with me. I started cramping up real bad. So, there's mental challenges to remembering to eat, remember to stay positive, and that we're all just out there having fun. It doesn't matter if you're fast, slow, shape, size, age, it's just great to be out there.
Right.
You have to stay in that positive, you know, mental, you know, you have to have this real big positive mental attitude, because it's easy to, when things get hard, to really come down on yourself.
Yeah. And I can see you having that good positive vibe. It'd be like, you know, I'm like 5 minutes behind, but God, this is a great view. And you're just this is a good view. Or man, like, you know, I might be like 7 minutes behind, but this is an awesome ascent right here. This is fun.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hours. So that race, the Cayuga 50, I was telling you. So the second half, I was looking to try and do it in six hours. It took me 9 hours. I actually couldn't run. So a good thing I could hike. So I hiked in the last 15 miles and made it.
Nice. Well, you finish it. And that's another mental game of finishing. You want to finish. And, you know, I'm not a trail runner, I'm a hiker, but another thing, a mental challenge to face is if you are injured and you cannot finish, or you want to, but you know, don't be afraid to call for help, you know.
100%.
That's a big challenge.
Because if you're not feeling well, or maybe you fell, you turned an ankle, something, you might, you know, feel like you're okay now, but maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour from now, it could get really, really worse. And depending where you are, talk about the Woodland Valley, like if you're on Cornell, you're right in the middle, you know, when you, maybe if something happened on Windberg, it's easier to get down, you know?
Yep.
So it's okay to tap out. It is okay to tap out.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, when you're on Cornell,
live to hike another day.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to see that viewpoint again, don't you?
Most definitely.
That's yeah. Just those viewpoints kill me. They grab me. So you talked about your crazy moment. Go ahead.
I have a question. So viewpoints, have you been to the Boy Scout camp on Wittenberg? Is that what it is? I want to go there. So I've heard about this old trail going up to Wittenberg, I think from Moon Hall.
Yes.
It was a ledge.
It's called the Van Van Schoten Trail. It is once a Boy Scout camp trail, and it's been abandoned for, I don't know, I think it's been like 30, 40 years now. So
yeah,
it's not well marked, but it's marked, and it's not cleared, but it's sort of cleared. So you start from the Moon Hall.
Yeah.
You start from the Moon Hall and you go around private across property, cross the river, and then to the right of the stream, which is, I think, the Moon Hall Creek, is the Van Van Schoten Trail. It's tough to spot at first. You got to definitely spot it, but it's marked with red markers, and it is a challenging ascent. Let me tell you, that is steep as heck, and it's loose.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's freaking awesome. So another thing is I went up, like you said, me and my friend James Hobson, he was on my show. He's one of the best, craziest bushwhackers in the world. He's fantastic.
I love it.
Positive guy, just like you, very positive. He's always, you know, pointing out things like, oh man, this is a tough hike, but look at that oak tree up there. That's old or something like that. But we were going, we were headed up the Van Vanschoten Trail. And then he was just like, well, let's just go up this ledge going up to Cornell. And I got to admit, it was one of the craziest hikes I've ever done. The funnest hikes I've ever done. Just right up the ridge, climb after climb. It was fantastic. But like,
yeah, I can't wait. I definitely want to check that one out someday.
Well, let me know.
A few people.
I'll take you on that. And then I'll take you on some other crazy bushwhacks.
Awesome. I'm in.
Rock on. So you talked before about your crazy moments. Any other crazy moments you want to share?
Yeah, I said earlier, like I'm kind of like the king of silly things. I do all these things myself. So it's a crazy moment. It was in another race, in the Gunks. It was the 50 mile race. So I had to use the bathroom. But there's all these people around. So they do it kind of like stages. So at the second stage, they had porta potties, and the porta potty was at an angle. And when I came out, I didn't want to like touch anything, but the door slammed right on my knee. Oh man. It was like 25 miles in. And then for the rest of the race, I couldn't really, I was getting like the shuffle swingy leg thing going on. So be careful of porta potties on a race.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Those are, some places are so far out there that, the porta johns are not maintained for years, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. No crazy, like mountain lion attacks or, nothing like that. Mostly it's self-inflicted nutrition, or I've been on a good run and I haven't turned my ankle too much this year. So that's pretty good. That's never fun.
Good. Yeah.
Turn your ankle. That could be weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And, getting down is definitely pressure after pressure is just really killing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So any advice for someone who wants to progress into trail running?
Yeah, just do it. I think, no, really, like there's no reason to overthink it. So when you're hiking, you hike up, just, you can trot down just a little bit. It doesn't have to be far or on a flat, just give a little few steps. I would also say find like a local park or like the rail trail, or even something like Wyndham High Peak, where it's not too technical, or like maybe, like Overlook at first, even though it's steep, but it's kind of wide, or maybe even like Red Hill Fire Tower, something that's not too technical, and go with some people, some friends, and just go for a little run. I mean, but like you can run up as far as you can and then hike. I mean, that's what it is. Just go for it, but definitely start, on such technical and treacherous trails that we have a lot in the Catskills. It's difficult, but progress to that.
Yeah.
And if anybody's looking for a run, call me up. We'll go for a run.
Yeah. Right. There you go. See, he just like, it's all for the love of the hike and the run.
You know, we'll bushwhack together. Then you and I'll go for a run. We'll trade.
I'll be.
Oh, you got it. You're too much in your head. Just go. Have fun.
Several hours.
For miles. You can run for 20 feet. It's still running.
My knees won't take that. But I'll agree with you. Some places I do like to trot and get going.
You know what I mean? Get a little going. That's trail running. Yeah. It doesn't have to be for miles. It doesn't have to be for 5,000 feet. You know, it's all good.
Awesome. Fantastic. So, Ed, once again, thank you for joining me on the show. I really appreciate it. Your positivity is just amazingly out there, and I love it. It's very good to absorb and stuff.
Oh, thanks, man.
So, since you like to, you travel a lot around the areas and stuff like that, post-hike brews and bites, Mary Tea Trail suggested this. Once again, where do you suggest to eat after doing a 3 hour and 42 minute trail run in Woodland Valley?
Oh, for me, it's Brio's. I have two places. So I love Brio's, nice. Of course. Pizza's fantastic. But at any time, my wife and I can, we try to go to the Catskill Rose in Tremper. I don't know if you know that. It's like been around. It'd be great to have them on. They've been around since the early 80s. And they have, it's just like B&B, and they're great chefs, and they're great cooks, and they're just put on a whole great environment, and Peter's just a great cook. And so we like to go there when we can, but the problem is, you know, come back later, I'm all muddy or well, you know, so do a little wash in the river and then hop on over to Brio's and get some great pizza. Enjoy yourself.
Nice. Awesome. Catskill Rose. I haven't had that on here yet and I haven't heard of it. So I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. It's been around forever in Tremper.
Awesome. So once again, thanks for joining me, Ed. Also, thank you for the monthly supporters. Really appreciate you guys supporting the show. Thank you to the sponsors. Once again, greatly appreciate you guys sponsoring my show and believing in me. Both of you believing in me that I can do this. And I'm still going at 82 episodes. It's pretty insane. I thought it would be like 82. Maybe. Yeah, right. I think it would be like maybe 10. And I'd just be like, man, this sucks. It's not fun. But it's fun. It's fun chatting with the Catskills, people like you, man.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much. And again, for everyone on the other side, thanks for putting all this out there. It's really awesome. It's just awesome. It's great.
And thank you as one of them. Thank you for the listeners. I really appreciate thank you, everyone who is listening to the show. And hopefully you still enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
All right, Ed. So have a good night, Ed. Let's get together on the trail. I need my wife to meet you because she loves the positivity and stuff. And she loves to hear someone who is like, oh man, look at this. Oh, it's beautiful. And this and that. It's just so good. It's so positive. Everybody needs to get on the trail with somebody like Ed.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Anytime. So have a good night, Ed. And hopefully see you soon.
You too, Stosh. Thank you so much, bud.
Anytime.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. You can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Wicked, wicked, wicked. Way.